Chapter 23 A New Life. I had plenty of time to reach Marseille, so I drove slowly, taking minor roads all the way. It was also safer like that, in case someone was following me. But I did not notice anyone. In the small hotels where I stopped, there was never anyone acting strangely or asking too many questions. I began to feel more relaxed. At lunchtime on the third day, I stood at St. Charles Station in Marseille, waiting for the Toulouse train to arrive. I felt happy and optimistic. Everything would be all right. Things would work out. I would take Annie away to a place where we would both be safe. A new life was possible. Yes. It was. As Annie walked towards me, I could see that she was tired. Her face was pale and had a lifeless expression. I took her case and we walked slowly to the car park. She had very little to say. She seemed locked inside herself. I tried to comfort her, but it was no good. When we got into the car, she began to cry. Tears running down her cheeks. She still said nothing. My optimistic feelings started to disappear. I decided to drive to Aix-en-Provence and spend the night there. In the morning, we would start our journey back to Sauve-la-Garde. We had a quiet supper. Annie still said very little and ate less. I was beginning to feel seriously worried about her. We went to bed early. The next day, she seemed better. She even managed a smile at breakfast. We went for a walk in the town, and I talked to her about my plans. I told her that I would have to return to Sauve-la-Garde to get the CDs. After that, we would decide on a safe place for us to live, a place where she could have her baby, where a new life could begin. The next day we left and headed west. We drove slowly and stopped to walk or visit places every day. I wanted to give her time to get used to me again. And every day I felt closer to my daughter. It was as if I had never really known her before. I told her about my earlier life, about my adventures as a spy. About my failures, my mistakes, all the things I wished I'd done differently. I even told her about Nina's murder in London, and about the fire and shootings at Burstead Hall. I told her about Bert and about Peter, and the whole Berlin story. I told her about the crimes of Strang and Sir Clive. She told me about her life after I had disappeared in San Cristobal. Though I had seen her a few times, she'd always kept her life to herself. She had met Lucien at the university in Toulouse. He was planning to be an engineer. They had lived together for 6 months. She told me about their final argument and her anger when he left her. I could hardly believe that my little girl had been through all this pain and suffering. She was now a grown woman, certainly no longer a little girl. There were times when she went completely silent, and others where she would suddenly burst into tears. I had never been much good at giving comfort to people. I never knew what to say. I tried to tell her about how I had felt when her mother and I had split up. I told her that things would get better as time passed. But I knew, even as I spoke the words, that some things never get better. Sometimes she would explode in anger at what Lucien had done to her.
Why me? It's so unfair. I loved him more than anyone. Why has he done this to me? I wanted his child. I wanted us to be together. Now what do I do for the rest of my life without him? Don't you understand?
I tried again to calm her down, but it was no use. Her anger would eventually die down. When she was calmer, I would try to reason with her.
Annie, I'm sorry about Lucien.
Maybe it's better like this. Better that you should see him for what he is now, not in 10 years' time. We talked about what to do next. I had definitely decided that after I had got the CDs, we would leave France for good. I would leave first to find a safe place to live. She would leave later to join me. She seemed to accept this idea.